Hello, Yvonne.
Hi.
Let's see. I'm getting up.
Oh, man.
What was I looking for?
A podcast.
What are you looking at? Ah! Oh, okay, you unplugged me. Hold on, Yvonne.
No!
Well, that's very loud.
No!
Not so close, not so loud.
Where's the sound?
There you go.
Hello, this is Alex, and welcome to the
pod. Alex, are you going to do a promo for us? I mean, you're doing all these videos. Can't you do a promo for the show?
Don't stick that in your mouth. Stick it in your ear so you can hear Yvonne.
Yeah, it works better in the ear.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, May 12th, 2016. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me. Hello. Did I say it's Curmudgeon's Corner?
I'm not sure.
It's Curmudgeon's Corner. It's just after 2:40 UTC as we're recording, and you've got your curmudgeon Sam and Yvonne here, and we're going to
do
a show.
Which the car the exhausted curmudgeons, I will say.
I was running a little late because I had to pick up some prescriptions for my daughter and some other stuff on the way home, and then
I'm having these for you too. Oh,
thank you, Alex. And because my son has been interrupting many times during the show, I thought, hey, let's get him on so he can talk to Yvonne, and maybe I thought he could even participate in
talk.
This. He could actually maybe talk in this opening segment.
Right.
Things. But instead, in our pre-show, when I was just getting on with Yvonne to try to talk about, like, well, what's going on, he just repeatedly wanted to make loud noises in the microphone at Yvonne. And then he brought a whole bunch of things to show Yvonne on the camera and stuff. But I don't know.
Some that I didn't even know what they were. I heard a whole bunch of howling.
The reason is because this microphone has the little loop, so you can hear yourself. You can hear what the microphone hears when you're plugged into it. And so when he yells into the microphone, it made a really loud noise in my ear and made me scream and throw the headphones out of my ear, which is, of course, incredibly entertaining.
Yes, it seemed to really amuse him quite a lot.
Yes. Anyway, if you want to see more of him, go to his YouTube channel, alexmxela.com will get you there. And he actually talks, he actually speaks, he narrates the events of what he's doing on his channel. Except at this very moment, the latest episode I posted is basically silent because we had some sort of screw up and the sound didn't work. But on most of them, he talks a lot. But anyway, there you go. Our show is going to be mostly election 2016 related again. We have a little bit of, maybe we'll talk about, there was a thing with Facebook manipulating the news and stuff like that.
Have we gotten feedback lately?
Oh, we did get a feedback last week, actually.
Okay.
Let me bring it up. We did get feedback. I'd forgotten.
Don't forget our listeners. Thank you.
No, we should not forget listeners.
I really do appreciate our listening numbers have been going way up, and to all of those of you new people, and I'm sorry that I'm not being all that coherent. Welcome to listening to our rants and raves and cursing and other stuff. Yes.
Let me find where this comment was. I think it was actually on my thing. Here we go. So they commented not on the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page, but on my Facebook page for the post about the show. Emily, in response to our post about the show, said elections are over. So who died on The Walking Dead?
So she's saying that who won by this default assumption? Or it's just left to interpret.
Well, the way I interpret this statement is, okay, enough already with the election. We're sort of in a lull, to be honest. We've got essentially the nominees in the two parties, unless something amazing happens.
A lull in this environment? I mean, it seems like now every day something is going on of some way or form. I will say that this cycle has been compounded by a lot of stuff, but it's been a self-fulfilling thing. There's been a lot more attention placed on the election than there was before.
Uh-huh.
Ratings on TV have been a lot higher because of that. And so everybody has been like trying to, since it's been popular, to milk it some more. I'm not going to say that we haven't talked about it, but truth is,
look,
we've always talked about it a lot.
We have. Whenever there's an election. You know, yes. The show has now been on long enough that this is our third presidential election cycle.
And we talked about them.
And basically, in presidential election years, we basically talk 90% about the election.
Yes.
In between presidential election years, that shifts entirely. And we talk a lot more about tech and international affairs and the economy and other things that are going on. There's still a lot of politics, but it's not like an election year. In an election year, it like dominates.
Yes,
and
it totally does.
And on The Walking Dead, I don't actually watch that show. Do you watch that show?
I will say that I don't watch it either, and I'm sure that I will get, I don't watch any shows anymore. I really don't. I watch, the most I watch is live sports. I don't even watch anywhere nearly as much live sports as I used to, okay? Look, like tonight there was, I lived down here in South Florida for a long time. I have relationships varying in strength, some stronger than others with the major sports teams down here. I do business relationships. I know the people. I go to games. This year, for example, I haven't been to a single game. Okay. And tonight there was a game on. It's the playoffs, and I usually follow them part. I didn't watch like the first half basketball.
Oh, okay. See how much I care.
Yeah. There's a couple of playoffs going on. That was a fair question because there's a hockey playoff going on right now, and I really don't care about hockey. But the basketball playoff is going on. And in other years, I've gone to like multiple playoff games, I haven't been to a single one. And, I missed the first half of the entire game tonight. I barely watched, some pieces of it on a corner on the screen over here on my computer.
I am watching TV shows, but I'm watching, I'm not watching anything current. Like, I'm not watching anything where the episode comes on and then I watch it the next day or anything, or the same day.
You watch, MASH?
Well, what I'm watching right now, I'm watching 7 shows. And, when I finish one of these, I, of course, mention it on the show. But I'm watching Stargate SG-1.
It's like 20 years old.
Yeah. I'm watching Modern Family, which is a current show. It's still on the air, but I'm watching season 4. I'm watching.
It's not that bad.
I'm watching season 4, which is a couple years ago.
Not that bad. Okay.
I'm watching Bones, which is also a current show, but once again, I'm watching older episodes. I'm watching season 8 right now.
Yeah, I don't watch that. My wife likes to watch Bones.
I'm watching the original Twilight Zone from the 1960s.
Those are good. I used to watch those in the 80s, in 90s, whenever it was on TV.
And
those shows are pretty good.
I'm watching the Ewoks cartoon from the 80s.
I don't see how that could be good.
It's not. It's horrible. I'm watching a serial. It was actually originally in the movie theaters when they did serial movies, called Junior G-Men from the 1930s.
That's got to be awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, too.
God. things.
And I'm watching.
Oh, well.
And the seventh and last one I'm watching right now is the animated Star Trek series from, I guess, the 70s, maybe.
Oh, there is one program that I've been watching.
Or maybe it was 80s too, I forgot.
There is one program I'm occasionally watching, which I think is about the only one regularly that I've watched. I think I watched a couple of episodes on my that I had on my DVR. It's a program called Hotel Impossible.
Okay. By the way, the Star Trek animated series was 1973 to 74.
Wow. Okay. I think I did watch some of those. But anyway. Yeah. So, no programs for us. We can't give you commentary on that.
But I'll tell you, on all of those shows I'm watching,
I'm not watching Game of Thrones. Everybody fucking talking about Game of Thrones. I haven't watched.
Oh, well, I have watched Game of Thrones, but I've only watched through season 4, and it's season 6 that's on now. It's not one of the ones I'm actively watching.
I do. I didn't watch The Sopranos. I can say that I could never watch an episode of The Sopranos.
Mm.
Jesus, I don't know. I really don't watch much.
So the thing is, even these 7 shows I'm watching, like, I have slowed down dramatically now that election season is ramped up. And so, like, I'm maybe watching one episode of one of those shows per week. So I'm making really slow progress on all 7 of those shows.
There you go.
You know, okay. But I'm going through them. You're making some progress. I'm making some progress, and eventually, like, when I finish some of those shows, I might bring in some new ones to rotation. But until I do, I'm not going to pick up any other shows.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, the whole TV world is a different world than it used to be. It all operates differently, and it all depends on how much freaking time you have. I mean, the bottom line is I watch TV because I have less time to watch TV, and because when there is something on, like, downstairs, I mean, my son watches our big projector TV downstairs more often than anybody else does, and when he watches it, he's not watching shows either. He's watching YouTube. He's watching his 2 or 3 favorite YouTubers doing gaming videos. He's not watching shows.
Well, that's interesting. My son does watch shows.
I'm not gonna count
that I'm watching shows. Like, I'm not watching, like, Octonauts. I don't count that my son watches Octonauts.
Hey, if you're in the room and you see them, you're watching them too.
I guess I'm watching Octonauts. Okay, so I guess the shows I'm watching are the Octonauts.
That's a good show. It is good, actually.
It is a good show, I will admit. Little Einsteins. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Okay.
Yeah, well, we watched a lot of that.
Yep. That's the kind of stuff that I've been watching a lot of lately. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, as we were saying, the show is going to be mostly on the election. You want to, before we jump into election, you want to touch on the Facebook thing or any other things you want to touch on, or shall we just take a break and jump in?
We got more comments on election. You got more comments on election graphs, but they're kind of like all the same, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Trump! That's all they be fucking post on there. Trump! Trump! Trump!
There are occasionally other things.
Okay,
here's the comments, here's one,
the evil empire is coming down, we're coming to get you, they're finally scared,
here's a post I posted over the weekend about Clinton winning Guam. Okay, she won 4 delegates, Sanders got 3, pretty much irrelevant, okay? Somebody named Gary commented, Guamanians want to keep things the way they are, stay on welfare and food stamps. I was stationed there at NAS Aguana for 2.3 years. Okay. I guess. I don't know. Whatever. But it wasn't Trump, Trump, Trump. That's the point. It said something else.
Yeah, but what does that got to do anything with the results?
Well, I think he's insulting people from Guam.
Yep. that's pretty evident. Yes.
He starts with that. And yep. then I think what he's implying is because people from Guam like welfare and food stamps, they people like Clinton.
The Democratic primary?
I don't know. Look, all I can tell you is it wasn't Trump.
Okay, it wasn't. Okay, so that comment wasn't Trump. Okay, all right, fair enough. All right.
You know, and there are occasionally, you know, so I don't know what to tell you. Every once in a while, there's actually a comment that, like, seems like it's actually rationally thought out and thinks about stuff and asks a question or whatever, and on those occasions I will sometimes answer them. Like if somebody actually asks a question that's like an intelligently, you know, stated question about something, you know, why is it like this or why is it like that, I'll answer that question. Most of the ones that are just Trump, I mean, I just ignore all those.
I mean, well, it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because it's they're pretty just, I don't know what the right word to use on these. It's just, I mean, you know. Well, actually, look, you mentioned that one, but the next comment after that was, vote Trump for president. Yes. Okay. That was the next comment.
Well, like, you know, here's another one that doesn't mention anything by Trump, but like there's a comment on my a post I made on May 1st about Trump and Cruz both weakening against Clinton, and someone named Rolf, thank you Rolf, wrote, you know, a couple long paragraphs, you know, a sobering assessment but probably accurate. I actually think it's worse. What should have been an easy victory for the Republicans will be turned into a disastrous defeat, all due to Trump and the circular firing squad called the Republican debates. This will damage the conservative movement for decades to come. I repeat my assessment. I've been saying this for months. Americans as a whole are more interested in government paternalism and socialism than they are in independence and sovereignty. Most people today are ignorant to or indifferent to our history, blah, 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 blah. He goes on and on, but it's actual sentences.
You know? It's not like they're not like all caps posts, yeah. Like the person like some other person. I'm not going to name names. OK, you could go on there.
I mean, that
goes in all caps. Urgent. Cruz campaigned this morning, told delegates in Washington to vote Cruz. There is something going on. Make sure you tell everyone in every state that has not voted to get out and vote Trump. If he doesn't get to 1237, they would plan a coup d'etat. Okay? Please tweet and share. Trump voters must get out and vote in remaining states.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, yes, there are a lot of right. those, but there,
yes,
there are some like, that aren't. And like whether some, I agree with, whether right. I agree with them or not, I appreciate the folks who actually comment in, you know, full sentences, something that's thought out and coherent.
And not in all caps.
And I mean, I know that this is my Facebook page. I could curate it. I could remove these posts, but I don't believe it. I'm like, this is fine.
I'm not arguing for that. I'm just remarking that this is like, you know, look, there was this post. This is a post that you placed on May 4. Okay. How many of these psycho comments were there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Hey, at least people are engaging with my content.
Right. Yeah. True. I'm not arguing that. It's just, you know, very slanted in this Trump direction.
Yes, I have noticed that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Is it just, do I really, for whatever reason, Facebook's algorithm of who it showed my stuff to has gotten me a large, you know, almost all Trump people? Or is there actually a decent mix of people, but the Trump people are loud? And I kind of suspect it's
the
loud.
I'm going to suspect the latter. The Trump people are loud. I mean, it happened the last election cycle, too. you know, you think about it, you know, everybody around was like yelling Romney, Romney, Romney stickers all over the place, anything, and Romney lost. And it was by a wider margin than people expected. And it was just like, you know, yeah, all the people supporting Obama, they weren't wearing bumper stickers or whatever, but you know what? They were there, and when it came to vote, they showed up, you know? So, anyway, we can, you know, so anyway, enough about your election graphs part. Let's go, like, talk about what's actually going on in the election.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll talk about all the election stuff in earnest, and obviously the races themselves are pretty much done, but now there's all the aftermath, and preparing for the general election and all that kind of stuff. And I guess Sanders is still insisting he's fighting for something. I don't know. Anyway.
Something.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
Okay.
Hey, we know when you listen to this show, you have thoughts about what we say. You probably want to vent about what we got wrong or what we left out, right? Or maybe you want to suggest some future topics we just haven't gotten to yet. Well then, tell us all about it. Right now there are 4 ways to get feedback to us. First, you can go to the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page and leave comments on the post where we announce all the new episodes. Second, you could go to curmudgeonscorner.com, that's with a hyphen, and leave a comment there instead. Third, both Yvonne and I are on Twitter. You can talk to me at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or Yvonne at IMBOU. Finally, if you don't want to make your comments in a public forum like that, just email me directly at abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. But, you know, if you don't want us to mention your feedback on the show, be sure to say so, because otherwise we're probably going to respond to your comments on a future show, because, you know, that's what makes the discussion. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing from you. Okay, we are back.
You know, one of the things about having, well, I was going to, just before we started, one of the things about having a Nest thermostat that's great, but also a problem, is that you have 2 people with a freaking remote arguing about the temperature. Okay? Which is what apparently was happening in my house. I'm trying to fucking, like, oh, it's too warm. I'm turning it down, and my wife on the other end is going on, pulling out her phone. Well, no, it's too cold. I'm turning it back up.
Yeah, well, we don't have a fancy Nest or anything, but my son Alex has figured out how to turn up the heat.
Oh, God.
And, like, so I'm in the living room the other night going, oh, man, it's hot in here. What's going on? And he's like, oh, I turned up the heat to 76.
You're, like, melting.
I'm like, oh, okay. That would explain it. Anyway.
All right. Yep.
So where should we start? We've got Trump pivoting on a whole bunch of issues. We've got the Republican Civil War. We've got the Trump zigzagging, pivoting, whatever. We've got the Trump Veep search. We've got I guess those are the main thing. I mean, everything I mentioned just had the word Trump in it.
Well,
I guess we had something that the whole email investigation. There's a couple more things happening, but
yeah, whatever. Nothing really, like, you know, like. But here's I mean, look, the reason we're not getting into this whole email investigation is because we have no real reason to believe that anything's going to come of it. So that's my take. I think that's your take as well.
I think that's the most likely outcome by far. They could still surprise us, which would make things very entertaining. But
right, but we don't believe anything's going to come of it. And it's the same reason, like, for example, for the most part, during these 6 months, I've also not talked about in detail about what's happening in the Democratic nomination, because I think that for the most part we could try to milk it for as much as we talk, oh my God, Bernie won here, Bernie won there. The reality is the math is impossible. You know, it's possible, but it's extremely unlikely that Bernie would nomination.
someone forwarded around, well, I guess it was on Facebook. One of my Facebook friends posted something, you know, there was an article on, you know, what Bernie's path right now is and how he could still win, right? And basically, the bottom line is, okay, here's the article. It's Bernie Sanders could still win the Democratic nomination, no seriously, by Seth Abraham, posted on Huffington Post on May 11th. Anyway, but the bottom line is the plan, the way that he can still win the nomination is basically this. Win every remaining state. Now, that will not get him the number of delegates he needs.
Yep, that's right.
But the notion is that if he indeed ran the table on all the remaining states, it would freak out the superdelegates, and they'd be like, oh my God, we're going to nominate someone who hasn't won a single state since April. And meanwhile, all of these national polls are showing Sanders neck and neck with Hillary at this point. And all the polls against Trump show him doing a little bit better than Hillary. And then a whole bunch of superdelegates panic, change their minds, and flip it to Sanders. That's the scenario. That's the Sanders yep. scenario.
Right. But he's not going to run the table in every state that's remaining.
And honestly, even if he did, I do absolutely believe a bunch of superdelegates might change their mind in that scenario, but I don't actually think it would be enough. I think enough would stick with Hillary to make it Hillary.
Right.
Even in that scenario.
Even in that scenario. So I it's just a very unlikely scenario. Okay. All right. Possible. Okay,
can we move on? But,
all right. Yes. So that's why we haven't talked about that. So
we're going to spend the rest of the damn show on Trump.
Right. So what? Well, we could start with a Facebook flap. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. And maybe this Ben Rhodes Iran deal thing too.
Yeah.
Which
so,
you don't know
so,
anything about. But.
So here's the thing, right? So somebody went and like accused that the curators of the trending topics in Facebook have you know, been intentionally not pushing Republican stories.
Yes.
Okay. You know, somebody went and made a joke today and said, oh, yeah, that sounds right. That's I guess that's why Trump has barely been getting any coverage in this fucking election.
So now there are a couple of things here. First, the only thing we're talking about at the moment is the trending topics display on Facebook, not what your friends are posting. There's other stuff relating to what your friends are posting and how it determines what gets surfaced and what doesn't. But this particular thing was all about the trending news stories. Now, I will admit, I had to go looking for the trending news piece. It's there, but I never notice it. I never pay any attention to it.
I actually lately have been looking at it.
Okay.
I mean, it's there. I mean, on your not so much on your mobile. It's on your it's on the webbook on the Facebook web page. Okay.
Yes.
Very easily there. And, you know, it is showing, like, what's trending, with a variety of different things. I don't know.
What happened with this trending news part of it is someone who used to work in that process came out and basically said, yeah, we spike stories all the time. We didn't include things. There's an algorithm that basically recommends what should be there, but there are all sorts of manual overrides. You can take something that the algorithm recommends and take it out. You can take something that the algorithm isn't recommending and put it in. And for instance, on that second thing, they were repeatedly doing that on breaking news stories because the algorithm would be slow to pick up on
a breaking news story. Of course.
They also mentioned that the algorithm, for instance, dropped Syria entirely because no one cares anymore, but they determined Syria was still important, so they forced Syria into the headlines.
Right. So I don't know.
The accusing was specifically around not taking certain articles that were trending in the... So, for instance, in the conservative side of things, it'd be like an article in Breitbart or something like that, and that would be, you know, being passed all around by people on the conservative side and say, oh, look at this thing. You know, it could be Hillary email, could be some other scandal, whatever. And apparently, many times they would just choose not to include those. But the explanation I saw sort of proffered at one point, which actually made some degree of sense to me, is that those kinds of things would not get included unless they were also being reported in, quote, the mainstream press.
So basically, if it's just an article being passed on, like, a third-party site like that, unless it was a more mainstream, you know, news story, they just wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, so basically, if the only places that were hawking a particular story were ones that had a very definitive agenda, let's say, those were often not included. Like some of these quote unquote news sites aren't really news sites, and the same thing goes for the left in certain areas. They were sort of backing up and saying, okay, look, if this shows up in the New York Times or the Washington Post or any place reputable,
or Fox News
or even Fox News, yeah, then we'll go for it. But if it's only showing up on sort of these, agenda-driven, tabloid-ish places that, you know, then maybe not. And look, there are a couple things to say about this. First of all, Facebook has no obligation to be fair on this.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking.
Yeah,
Facebook
is a private company, and it's nice if they are transparent about what they're doing. I would like it, every time they inject things like that, I sort of like it when, like, if you call it trending topics, it really should be like some objective measure of what people are talking about. You know, there really shouldn't be editorial curation on top of that. Now, even if you have it algorithmically based, how you construct that algorithm can have a significant effect. But you expect, if it's called something like trending topics, that it's somewhat, directly related to behavior on the site. You don't expect the editorial. So I can see why that's a bit misleading. But in the end, Facebook can do whatever the fuck they want to with their platform. They like another thing that apparently they had a rule, like no articles about Facebook would ever show up there without like super high level management approval. And same thing actually goes to the it's scary how much influence Facebook has, because for instance, just you mentioned, you are seeing, all your friends talking about Trump and stuff like that, and you're seeing plenty of Trump news. Facebook could decide tomorrow to tweak their algorithm so that, conservative related posts would show up half as much as liberal posts. That is within their capability of doing.
Oh, it's their capability to slanting it any way they want, to be honest. I mean, reality.
Everybody sort of feels like in their main news feed, like there have been polls done that most people don't realize that the Facebook news feed is filtered and reordered by Facebook. And by this, I'm no longer talking about trending news. I'm talking about the list of stuff your friends post.
Oh, right.
It's not
chronological. It's right now, there is an algorithm to it. Yes.
It's not chronological unless you force it to chronological. And even if you do, it doesn't necessarily show everything. Facebook is constantly trying to figure out, of all of your friends, things that they're posting, which ones would you be most interested in? Which ones would you most engage with? And they optimize that in various ways, and they've admitted
that was a change that came in years ago.
Yeah, And they do lots of experiments with that as well. They're constantly doing A/B testing on like this algorithm versus that algorithm, or trying this or trying that. And I believe one of the experiments that was actually done was Facebook experimented with something that just on election days would put up a reminder to go vote. And they tried doing this in a way that with a controlled experiment or something. And they actually determined that Facebook does have the capability of increasing voter turnout by how they present that kind of stuff. They've got a strong enough platform that they made a difference. But there's all kinds of things they're doing to determine what you see. And part of that is, you know, everybody's so generous. Like, you know, your friends on Facebook aren't usually just your like close friends. It's like all kinds of people, you know. And if you actually saw everything that every single one of them posted in chronological order every time, you'd be overwhelmed. You'd see all kinds of crap, and you wouldn't necessarily see the ones that you're most interested in. So they try to figure out which friends do you care the most about, and which kinds of posts do you care the most about, and which things are you likely to respond to, and which things are you not. So every time you hit that like button, or every time you comment on a post, you are essentially voting at Facebook on, hey, I like this kind of stuff, and I want to see more of it. And when you don't, you're telling them, hey, you know, I won't mind if I miss this next time.
Right.
You know? And so Facebook does potentially have a huge amount of power. And, like, you know, the publishing industry has been, and I should say media, news, / whatever, has been going nuts about this for the last couple of years, because essentially what they've found is at this point a very small portion of their audience comes straight to their websites. Most of their traffic is driven through Facebook. And so what, they're living and dying by Facebook. And if Facebook does something that makes them less visible, then they're screwed. I mean, and same thing is true for our podcast and my election graph stuff. You know, a huge amount of the traffic is coming from the fact that we've got Facebook pages and we're advertising on Facebook. If we didn't do that, you know, we drop down, you know.
Yes.
And so Facebook has put themselves in a position where they are a major gateway to how huge numbers of people find out about whatever. And so they've got a lot of power right now. And
yeah, they do.
But it's it's not like it's mandated on everybody. If you want to go somewhere else besides Facebook, you're perfectly able to. It's just lots of people don't.
Yeah.
Well, so little things about, well,
I think,
is Facebook fair or not?
You and I both agree that Facebook has significant influence, while at the same time they have zero obligation right now whatsoever to basically...
Well, I'd put it a slightly different way. They have zero legal obligation. They can do whatever the fuck they want. But
yeah.
But if they are going to be, you know, sort of a responsible member of the community, then they do have a certain obligation to try to be somewhat fair in what they do and not, like, put their thumb on the scales. Now, again...
No, I agree with you on that. But the one thing is, like, that's the difference between... But I think that, yeah... I mean, that's what we would like, but like I said, it's like, I mean, the way the service, it's like, you know, going to the New York Times and expecting them to fucking, like, be trumping, you know, bumping up all sorts of, like, right-wing columnists. They're not going to do that. And, you know, I know, the thing is that Facebook isn't a new site. It's a social site.
But,
you know... It's now, I mean, they've added this kind of content because, but it's like,
well, it's not even directly them adding this kind of content. It's the members are sharing it. I mean, some of it's them
members are sharing it, but now they're like curating it and like showing you trending things and showing you what to look at, not just what your friends are looking at. So it's changing the dynamic of what the site does and how people use it.
Right.
Because of that. So,
you know, and if they do anything, you know, too outrageous, maybe they start to lose some people. But at the same time, they've got that hook in people where this is where they communicate with their friends and family.
Right.
So, like, actually saying, screw it, I'm leaving Facebook is
a hard.
I heard someone on one of the podcasts.
Well, we can join Friendster back, right?
Yeah. Well, I heard.
No?
I think it was Andy Anako on his podcast that I was listening to on my commute today. Mentioned basically, look, he said, you know, I resisted for a long time, but I'm on Facebook now because I had to decide: do I hate Facebook more than I hate my family?
Right.
You know, or and then he's like, I don't really hate my family, but you know, but yeah, I mean, like, because if you decide to opt out of Facebook, the reality is your friends and family member are using that to keep in touch with each other all the time, and you are slicing yourself off from that.
Yes, you are. I have a friend of mine who I think you met him, Franklin, who's kind of nuts, okay? But he's a good friend of mine, okay, you know? And for a while, he completely he was like trying to – I'm like, dude, I mean, he's just completely avoiding it, but he finally, you know, buckled and just, you know, yeah, he's on, you know?
So, yeah. Anyway, so I would hope that Facebook – tries to be somewhat fair on these things.
I tried to just switch again to Friendster, and I keep forgetting. I read this online. It shut down last year.
And basically, Facebook, by the way, denied that they were doing anything nefarious, and that they have guidelines about being fair and all this kind of stuff. But I would hope that that's sort of a key value, that they have this power, but they should be very reluctant to use it because doing. They really are in a position where if they used this power, they could majorly fuck with elections and things.
Sure.
You know, they could, you know, and I think that would be dangerous. But even then, you know, like I said, if it was obvious that they were doing that, you know, if like Facebook started getting a reputation as a liberal site, just like the New York Times has a reputation as a liberal site or whatever, then conservatives are going to start looking for alternatives.
So we'll have the Fox, yeah. Trump social
Fox network. Book.
Fox book. Trump Fox book.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so that was the Facebook.
Yeah, we're not in marketing. We suck at this. Okay, all right. Good deal. All right. Okay. All right. So that was Facebook.
Great. Let me do this Ben Rhodes thing real quick before we move on and get on to the other really election stuff. There was a profile of a guy who used to work in the Obama administration. And basically he was bragging about how he influenced the media, in the run up to the Iran deal. And I know you haven't read a lot about this, so we won't talk a lot. But basically, he was saying things like, you know, we just fed the facts that we wanted to a select group of journalists, and they just ate it all up. There was no, for the most part, there was no fact checking on anything. So, like, we, for instance, pushed the story that we'd basically restarted negotiations after the Iranian elections because, hey, here's this new government that is a lot more amenable to the West, and maybe we can work with these guys, where really the negotiations had started long before that. And basically they were spinning it in this way. He made quotes like, you know, and I don't have it in front of me, I'm afraid, but that the, you know, all of the news organizations used to have foreign bureaus and used to have, you know, reporters all over the world and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, now they've got a whole bunch of 20 something reporters sitting at the White House who don't know anything else, who will just eat up whatever we tell them, and they don't know any better, and they don't check, and they just repeat what we say, and so we can inject whatever we want into the media conversation and without too much worry about it being challenged in any way. And so there's two takes on this. One, a whole bunch of conservatives are like, oh my God, the Obama administration, someone from the Obama administration is basically admitting that they completely lied about the Iran deal and they tricked us into it and blah, blah, blah. And it really does suck and blah, blah, blah. I, for the most part, dismiss those folks because as far as I can see, all that the guy is admitting is successfully spinning the media. And it's like, is there any fucking politician in the world who isn't trying to spin the media in their direction?
Yeah, that's what I mean,
after debates, they call it the fucking spin room, where, you know, all these people come and try to tell you why their candidate won the debate.
Right.
This is normal behavior. I think the scandalous thing here is also something we've known for a while, but it's useful to remind people of all the time, is how fucking crappy most of the media has gotten, you know, in the last 20, 30 years, you know, because of exactly what he's saying. You got a bunch of young kids there who actually, and there have been a few quotes over the last few years from reporters who actually were like, you know, it's not our job to make sure what they're saying is true. It's our job to tell you what they said. And it's like, no. You know, the old fashioned definition of what a good journalist is was, if you're telling them something they want to be told, you're not doing their job, your job.
Well, I think that's what every journalist organization, I mean, I think that's what everybody who's pushing an agenda, like you mentioned, you're talking to the press. That's what you want them to do.
But the press shouldn't, you know.
But no, I agree. But look, I mean, but he's right on this. You know, over the last like 20, 30 years, there's been significant disinvestment in like foreign bureaus. Most of the news coverage outside of some large organizations.
One of the quotes here was, you know, it used to be if the news organization wanted to know what was going on in Iran, they would call their correspondent who'd been living in Tehran for the last 2 years learning what's going on. Now they don't have that anymore. So they'll call up the White House and say, hey, what's going on in Iran? And the White House will tell them whatever the White House wants them to know.
And that's the media's fault.
And obviously some places are harder to get reporters than others. But, you know, but there's a clear change in at least a number of decades ago, they tried. Yeah, they did. They did have reporters in all kinds of countries all over the world on the ground trying to figure stuff out. And now it seems like more and more there really is a, what did the official organization say? Let's just report that that's what the official organization said.
Right.
Because they don't have the people on the ground to double check it themselves. And I mean, and this applies even to domestic stuff as well, where, you know, if the police department says this is what happened, you see the press reporting this is what happened, rather than getting on the ground and talking to people themselves and figuring out, you know, their own view.
I mean, there are still organizations that have a lot.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all.
But not all. I mean, like,
because that kind of thing is expensive.
Almost all the major networks cut back on all their foreign bureaus. I mean, substantially, because with the age of the internet and all these things and technology, they were like, whatever. I mean, we don't need to have a bureau in, you know, Libya or wherever in order to get information from there. At least we believe we can just get it in some other way that's cheaper and, you know, whatever. And a lot of those organizations that used to do hard news like became more fluff and entertainment, so they didn't really care about doing that kind of hard reporting. As long as they got something that they could put on the TV, they didn't give a shit about not having somebody there.
Well,
being the person that scooped it or being the first one to report it, they, you know, whatever, they didn't care.
Well, and even then, it being first was more important than being right as well.
Right.
You know, and and the reason is, of course, that's what make if you're an advertiser based type solution or even a subscription based thing, you know, that's what makes the money. Because honestly, yeah, that's what people gravitate towards. That's what people read a lot, you know, and it's very expensive to do in-depth on the ground reporting that isn't simply repeating what the official organizations say. Like, if you're actually going to dig into everything and, you know, because frankly, like, if you're repeating what the White House says, we don't actually need news organizations anymore for that. The White House has a website. You can go to the White House website and see the White House statement or hear the White House statement or watch the speech or whatever. Like, you don't need the news organizations to get you
to regurgitate that.
Yeah, and the same goes for press releases from companies pushing products and all this kind of stuff. You can go straight to the source. You don't need a news organization for that. The value that news organizations could add is the, you know, being credulous and being, you know, taking it, saying, okay, they said that, but is it true? And of course, there are fact check columns and stuff like that. But I remember just a few months ago, one of the fact checking people wrote a last column saying, I'm getting out of the fact checking business because no one gives a fuck. You know, basically was the bottom line of it.
Well, I mean, I think that this campaign is like, been like the Waterloo of fact checking.
Well, and one of the fact checkers specifically addressed the Donald Trump thing and said, you know, look, we've done this. Donald Trump lies more than any candidate we've ever fact checked. It's like his inaccurate rate is something like 70-80%, you know, compared to, I forget, it was like 20% for Clinton or something. So nobody's pure in this business. But Trump was way higher than anybody else. And he's like, but unlike other candidates, he's like most other people in the public eye, if we fact check them and say, no, actually, that's wrong, at the very least, they'll stop saying it. You know, they'll back off a little bit, or they'll correct their wording to make it a little bit more accurate. They're like, Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck. You know, nope. He will continue to repeat over and over the thing that has been proved false months ago.
And he's the genius that, you know, just... he'll say one thing one week, then the next week say, you know, weeks later say something different. Somebody will try to call him out on it. He said, no, you're lying. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, the Ben Rhodes thing doesn't make me upset about the Iran deal. It makes me upset about, you know, the media and the whole culture of, you know, the fact that I don't know, like, what you know, where the truth is specifically in this area. I suspect he was just doing like everybody else and not outright lying, but spinning things in the direction that he wanted. But you do expect the media to have a skeptical eye, and it makes me upset when you hear these stories of, you know, essentially administration personnel, and this happened a lot in the Bush administration too. This is not an Obama administration exclusive, where essentially someone in an administration would write a statement and say, we want to get something like this out, and hand it to a reporter, and the reporter is like, oh, okay. And they'll rewrite it slightly, and that's their story. You know, it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. I mean, that's one of the things that was actually in the Clinton emails, was the Clinton Statement Department trying to feed some particular stories to some friendly reporters. And it's like, no, that it shouldn't work that way, you know, but it does.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Now can we take a break? And
yes.
Actually, well, now we'll come back and we'll talk Trump stuff. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're here again. So,
all right.
Let's just go through some of these things. Let's start with, as you called it, Trump zigzags.
Yep.
Okay. So,
well, number
Trump,
one,
national debt.
Oh yeah, they're not paying off that shit.
Well,
now.
First, let's do the full zigzag.
Well, first he said that he was going to pay it off in 8 years.
Yes. He was going to completely pay off the debt. Not
it was
going to
be wiped out.
Not get us to a lower deficit. Not get us to a surplus.
Pay off the whole debt.
Pay off the whole debt. Get us to zero.
Now he's
which, by the way, would have all kinds of implications to all kinds of things if he actually did it. And you can argue about the merits, but doing it really quickly in a short amount of time might cause some problems.
Yes, a few. Okay.
So, but right. he's since changed.
Now he's like, fuck, I want to print. Then he said something about the way I'm going to deal with the debt is that I'm not going to pay anybody in full.
Yeah, he said he could renegotiate the debt.
Right. He was going to basically that he didn't have to people didn't have to take a haircut. So he promised to welch on the welch on the debt.
So basically, just to be clear, that's what in other times people call defaulting on the debt.
Correct. He talked about defaulting on the debt. Okay, all right.
As a good thing.
As a good thing, okay. Then he went and to say, oh, fuck it. We got printing press. We can print all the money we want. I want to borrow all the money we want at low interest rates. And he wants to do a tons of infrastructure projects. Right. And, like, just spend money like there's no tomorrow.
Yes. So in the course of a couple weeks, he went from being the ultimate debt hawk, saying that he would change everything about the federal government in order to pay off the debt entirely in the course of 8 years, and no more borrowing.
Right.
Pay off the debt. We're done with this stuff.
Right.
He went from that to saying that we're going
to fire the presses.
We're going, yeah. It, stopping off briefly at let's default in the middle, goes to debt is good. Let's get a lot more of it. And if paying it back ever becomes a problem, we just print more money and we'll solve it that way because we can never default because we can print. Which, by the way, is actually true. The government
is actually true. It's actually true. I keep going back and, like, I got people in Puerto Rico with the whole debt situation over there and saying, oh my God, the U.S. has said it to the same thing. No! The U.S. can print money! Puerto Rico can't!
Yes. Anyway, this is just one example of... Literally, Trump has had the entire spectrum of possible opinions on this issue in the course of 2 weeks. You know, and wherever you sit, wherever your own opinion is on how we should handle the deficit, how we should handle the debt, how we should cover government financing, I guess at one point in the last 2 weeks, Trump has agreed with you.
Yes, apparently, yes.
Also, on taxes, he has now mentioned that he wants to increase taxes on the rich. He's taken his own tax plan, and which was criticized for being too, you know, being typical sort of Republican, we're going to give tax breaks to the rich. And he said, well, you know, actually, that's just my opening stance for a debate with the Democrats. Of course, we're going to increase taxes beyond that. And now he's bringing in additional advisors to revamp his tax plan to make it more progressive and to put a greater burden on the rich. Okay. So pivot.
Zigzag, whatever. Okay.
So...
So his tax plan's all over the place. Well, but the big look, the other one, how about the fact that he's basically said flat out now he can't self fund the campaign?
Yes, there's also, well, that's not so much a position, an issues position, but yeah, he has said that, oh, that whole self funding thing, that was only for the primaries. Now I'm going to have a PAC. Now I'm going to raise money. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. So all of the things that he said were, you know, what was wrong and bad about all the normal politicians, he's now diving in, you know, fully on those things.
Correct. Yes.
Of course, he's having a little problem that a lot of people don't want to give him money.
Good.
But you know, I'm sure he'll still get plenty. This was like his... One of the big selling points for his whole campaign is I can't be bought, right?
Right.
But he realizes at this point that, okay, maybe he could afford to self-fund a primary election, especially with all the free media attention he was getting. Right. But that might not carry over to the general. Now, honestly, he's still going to get a ton of free media attention. Yeah, there's the media is going to leave him alone.
The other thing that he said... of course, it was going to ban all Muslims, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, London elects a Muslim mayor.
Yes.
And then he goes and says, well, we're going to make an exception for him.
And he's also been emphasizing, by the way, that whole banning Muslim things was only ever going to be temporary, just for a short time till we figure things out, which of course he had said earlier, but now he's emphasizing that part of things. Of course, you know, we had the taco bowl and he likes Hispanics.
Yes. He loves Hispanics.
He loves Hispanics,
of course, because we all eat tacos in a bowl, apparently. So
look.
Now he said also, well, he had been refusing to turn over his tax returns. But now he's basically saying, and he zigzagged on this a couple of times today. He said at one point that he's not going to release them until after the election. Okay. Then he said, no, that's not what I meant. It's until after the audit's done. So, I mean, he's right now.
I heard that last part of the zigzag, so okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, he's been like, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, it's just, I mean, the man is just, I'm a human wrecking ball. I mean, I just, you know. Then we need party unity. No, we don't need party unity.
We'll talk about the Civil War in the next segment. So just on the zigzagging and the pivoting, this is what we've been saying. Well, what I've been saying all the time is that once we had the primary out of the way, you would see Trump suddenly shift, you know, on many of these issues and pretend his previous positions didn't exist. And that is exactly what we're seeing, you know, on issue after issue. He is staking out positions that are very different than what he was staking out in some cases just days ago. You can see in some of the minimum wage is another one. He's now arguing for increases in the minimum wage.
He's now for that?
He's now for that, yes. And apparently him and Elizabeth Warren were arguing on Twitter earlier today over how much to raise the minimum wage. But, look, so he is staking out positions that in some cases are very much designed to be disconcerting. Like, he's going after Sanders people in some cases. He's taking out positions that are to the left of Clinton in certain areas, while certain other areas he's still sort of staking to the right, but tacking a little bit towards the center. And he's figuring, you know, he's got the people he had. Now what does he have to say to go after these other people? And at the same time, realizing that most of his supporters don't actually give a crap about individual issues at all. No, that's not why they're voting for him.
They care about the big bluster.
They care about the bluster. They care about the attitude. They care about giving the finger to the establishment. And so this is why when we were talking about New Hampshire and some of these other primaries we had, and this apparently was an effect in West Virginia as well. You had a lot of people who their top two choices are Trump and Sanders.
Which I'm like, huh?
Which seemingly are very different, but they have the same core rebellious screw the system kind of notion to them. And if you don't care about issues and you only care about that attitude, well, those two seem very close to each other all of a sudden.
I guess.
And so you see Trump doing some things that seem to be going after some of these other places. And of course, in some areas where he hasn't changed, like the statements on the Iraq war and things like that, you can argue about whether or not it was true that he opposed it from the very beginning. But there's no question at all that during this election campaign, he's been anti-Iran war the whole time. He went after Bush for it. He went after several others for it. And of course, that's another area where, you know, Clinton's all militant and he's like, we shouldn't be involved in that. So all of these are issues that potentially scramble the normal perceived Republican versus Democrat divide. Because all of a sudden he's taking positions that are not the traditional conservative position, because he's not a conservative, really. So that'll take us into our next segment on the Republican Civil War, the spat with Ryan, all that kind of stuff. So unless you have anything else on Trump issue changes, let's take a break and get into that.
Okay.
Back after this.
Bring me the yellow elephant. Bring me the elephant on the stick. Bring me the elephant on the stick. Bring me the elephant on the stick. Bring me the elephant.
Information. Okay, we're back. So the next thing to talk about is what is being called the Republican Civil War, because there, well, look, there's one stat. There was a PPP poll that came out just asking, you know, of Republican voters, how many will vote for Trump versus either stay home or switch to Hillary or whatever. And we're still at like 80% of Republicans are going to just stick with Trump, okay, of the general Republican electorate nationwide.
Yeah.
So the Republican Party in that sense is indeed consolidating around Trump. You know, most Republicans on the street are going to end up voting for Trump. The sort of never Trumpers who are going to do something else are in a distinct minority. But we're also looking at elected officials, because that's sort of a different ball game. And what's interesting is there are so many. First of all, the most common response among elected officials on the Republican Party seems to be what Talking Points Memo, who's doing a tracking of this, calls support the nominee, where they'll say, of course, I'll support the nominee, but they utterly refuse to use the man's name. Like, they won't actually say, I support Trump. They'll say, I support the nominee. I'm a loyal Republican. I'll support the nominee. But they won't say anything more than that. There are some folks who are out and out, you know, endorsing Trump, getting excited about Trump, talking about him. They seem to also be in the minority. People who, but the actual never Trumpers, the folks who are saying, you know, I'm just staying home, or even I'm voting for Hillary, are a very small portion. Now, some of them are fairly prominent. Both George Bush's, Jeb Bush, all those folks have basically said, we're out. You know, we're not going to support him.
Yeah, they did. They flat out did.
You know, so now at one point I tweeted, because it looked like not only the ex Republican presidents, but it also looked like all of the ex-nominees were also not endorsing. But since then, Dole and McCain have basically come out and said they'll support Trump.
Did McCain say that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he said,
I knew that McCain was a fucking jerk off. I mean, you know, that just confirms confirmation.
Now, Romney, of course, is
Romney
still,
has said no way.
Yeah. Romney has said no way. W has said no way. George H.W. Bush has said no way. But Dole and McCain have both gotten on the Trump train. But
yeah, I was shocked that Dole got on the Trump train. I thought he was a little bit more. I'm like, you know. I mean, nobody was asking him to get on the train. I'm surprised he went and he said, oh, yeah, I'm on the Trump train.
Yeah, he's the only one of them that's actually going to go to the convention, he says. Like, McCain already said he's got something better to do that week.
what the hell kind of endorsement is that? Yeah, I'm for it, but
look, it's lukewarm. It's lukewarm at best. It's sort of one of these, I'll support the nominee kind of things. But The interesting news, well, there are a whole bunch of interesting newses, but the one to highlight here is Paul Ryan, who basically said, yeah, no, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to say I'm supporting him. I want to see him move toward, you know, say some things, make me confident about, you know, that he'll support conservative positions, blah, blah, blah. And Trump said, I'm not ready to support Ryan's agenda.
Right.
You know, and basically, you know, I've heard this described, I guess it was Scott Adams on his blog, as a one move checkmate, because Ryan basically came out and said, Trump won't get my support unless he does X, Y, and Z. And Trump said, well, fuck you. I'm not going to support you unless you do what I want. And basically immediately declared that he doesn't give a shit what the congressional Republicans want. And he basically said, look, this is my party now. You get in line with me, not the other way around. Now, they're having, you know, by the time this show gets out, Trump and Ryan will have had a meeting. It's scheduled for Thursday, and they're going to try to do something. It's being brokered as an attempt to get them to sort of make up and come together and unify the party, as you said before. Who knows how it'll go? Maybe they'll come out shaking hands and all happy. Maybe they won't. Sam from the future here. Indeed, between when we recorded this and when I'm putting it out, that meeting did happen. They didn't come out quite shaking hands and all happy with Ryan endorsing him. But Ryan did come out of the meeting making all kinds of positive noises that, you know, it was a good conversation and they was moving in the right direction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Both sides basically used the meeting as an opportunity to try to, you know, say, yeah, we have differences, but we'll be able to work together. So it's basically looking more and more like all the congressional Republicans, or almost all the congressional Republicans, including Ryan, are, you know, maybe taking their time in some cases, but they're coming around to Trump. And so we'll see how that continues to play out. But it's looking like the Republican Civil War may fizzle a bit, because the Republicans in power are just going to go Trump in one way or another, maybe reluctantly, maybe without being really excited about it, but they're not going to fight it. Anyway, back to the show.
You know, Ryan has said that if Ryan, as the Speaker of the House, is by default the chairman of the convention. But Ryan has said, hey, if Trump doesn't want me there, I don't care. I'm out.
I don't care. I'm out. I don't want this thing. I don't want the shit show.
Exactly. You got to think that unless Ryan was planning some sort of coup by doing something fancy with the rules as chair, he doesn't want this.
No,
why would
I want this shit show? If I were me, I've forgotten that he was by default the freaking like convention chair. I'd be like, fuck you. Here, take this. Fine. You don't want me to be the chair? Fine. Here, take it.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I could see Ryan wanting to do that is if he was going to do shenanigans. And he's basically said he's not going to do that kind of stuff.
No, yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how this comes together or not. I mean, it really is looking, though, like most Republicans are not enthusiastically, but are grudgingly coming in line behind Trump in one way or another. There's a very small portion of them that are really like, I can't do this anymore. If Trump's the nominee, I can't, you know.
The thing is, it's a significant percentage. Okay, all right. The reality is that it's going to have an impact on the election, you know, no doubt. I mean, it's very hard to go into an election when you're got that many people in your own party that are just no fucking way.
Well, and, you know, I said 80% are lining up behind him, but that means 20% aren't.
Aren't.
And 20% right. Is not nothing.
Yeah, it's not insignificant, no.
And when you're already in, you're already behind.
Right.
You don't need these additional things. Like, you need to be, if you're winning, you need to have your own group completely sort of together and then start getting some of the other guys. And right now it looks like, you know, Trump is going to struggle with getting, you know, traditional Republicans out. Now, Trump's argument is, okay, maybe I'm not getting those hardcore conservatives out, but there's a whole other class of people that weren't voting at all before that are coming out for me.
I get that. I get what he's saying by that, but you're starting from a disadvantageous position already, which is the problem. It just makes it far more complicated.
Right. Now,
I mean, and then the other part that he's doing, which I think is in terms of talking about election and turnout, which I don't know if you heard about this part today, where he was talking about that Trump's not planning on building a turnout operation. Okay.
Okay.
You didn't hear about this part?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I can't remember exactly where I was reading about this, but there were a whole bunch of people telling him about how to set up the campaign, and we're talking about funding and how remember that Obama's data-driven operation, how it drove turnout, that got the votes, right? Same shit that's dogged him all the way through, why he hasn't gotten all the delegates that he's supposed to get, right? And he said, fuck that shit. We don't need that. Okay? Now, I got to tell you something. If he's not doing that, I mean, I already gave him low chances of winning. I mean, without that, I say he's got zero. Okay? Because,
you'd think he'd would have learned from some of the states he lost during the primary season, because many of those were because of deficiencies in exactly this area.
Yes! And that was my shock when I heard that he said that. I'm like, wait a minute, you just fucking lost states because of this, and you're saying you're not going to do this? I'm like, okay, well, thanks. That's all I could say.
I don't know. Back to the divisions in the Republican Party. You know, the bottom line, they're also, sorry, not bottom line. There are also some groups that are trying to rally up a last minute, like run some conservative as an independent kind of thing. And first of all, it's already too late to get on the ballot in Texas. That deadline passed like last week.
Right.
Texas is fucking huge, especially if you're on the conservative side of things. Second of all, they've said, you hear some of them saying, well, we don't have to have enough electoral votes to win. We just have to have enough electoral votes to deny Hillary 270 and throw it into the House of Representatives. And then all kinds of things can happen. But here's the problem. Show me a conservative that you can run that's going to take votes away from Hillary instead of Trump. Like, because in order for that analysis to win, like Hillary's already ahead. Hillary, right now, if you look at all the polls right now, Hillary wins. She's got more than the 270 electoral votes she needs to win. In order to have something else happen, you can't just take states from Trump. You have to take states from Clinton.
Right.
So what state that Clinton is winning in right now, could you run a conservative Republican in a three-way race and have that make not Hillary win? Because you're going to be splitting the Republicans. You're not going to get the Democrats suddenly say, you know, I wasn't so sure. You know, when it was Hillary versus Trump, I was for Hillary. But now that it's Hillary versus Trump and Cruz, I'm going for Cruz.
Exactly. Right.
That voter doesn't exist.
No.
Okay.
No, that voter does not exist.
I'm sure out of 300 million people,
I'm sure there are some, but highly unlikely.
It's a very small
number. It's a low number.
and they've all, like, somewhat lost their grip on reality.
Right.
So, like, look, how could you have that kind of scenario? You don't get it by running a conservative as an independent. You have it by running Bernie as an independent. That might do it. But running a conservative as an independent, you're just going to split the existing Republican vote. Hillary's still going to win. You're not going to get your throw it into the House scenario. And you're missing all the, like, again, you missed the big deadlines. You no longer could win outright by running another person, unless you took over the Libertarian Party or something. And it's almost too late for that as well. They're about to have their convention. Okay, so you're not going to try to win outright. You're going to try to do this, just keep someone. I don't know. Like, I guess the idea of that is not necessarily to win. It's to just give somebody to vote for that they feel better about, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's not going to happen. The few people you hear talking about it don't have a lot of backing behind them. You don't have a groundswell. If you were going to really have that happening, then you would have, you know, significant large numbers of people already lining up to do it. And they have nobody who's jumping up and down saying, hey, I'm your independent candidate right here. Of the Republicans. Now, you do have the existing third parties. You have Gary Johnson and the Libertarians, and he hasn't officially wrapped up their nomination yet, but it will be soon. And you've got Jill Stein on the Greens, and you've got these folks, and they're all saying, hey, if you hate Clinton and you hate Trump, look at us, look at us, look at us. And who knows, they may get a little bit more than they usually get, or not. It's hard to tell. The PPP's latest national poll actually included both of those candidates. In their polling, they got a little bit more than the actual third party election results in recent elections. However, you know, PPP has recently also been polling like D's Nuts as a third party candidate. They did not do as well as D's Nuts.
No.
You know, so basically there's a certain number of people who will always pick the third party in a poll. As sort of a protest, and that typically doesn't actually materialize as votes in the actual election.
Gotcha.
You can basically put anybody as the third party, and there's a certain number of people who will say, I hate those two guys, I'll go with this one.
These nuts.
Yeah.
Love it.
So that's not happening.
By the way, I shared to you the article that showed like Trump basically dissing the data-driven operation. And basically just, you know, how, if he's really doing that, I mean, it's great, you know, his statement saying, oh, Obama got all the votes that, and they just vote for him just like they're going to vote for me.
And people keep coming back to like, okay, if Trump really was working for Clinton, what would look different?
Nothing.
You know?
So far, nothing.
Not
one damn thing. Nothing.
So far, Trump's entire operation has seemed like tailor-made to destroy the Republican Party.
Yes.
You know?
And if it is, it's the ultimate mole. I mean, this is like, you know, imagine that we get to November and then he says, then he shows up on Inauguration Day with Bill, they're having a toast. Ha! We did it!
Yes. Now, since we're on that, I do want to point out one thing, and I put it in my latest Electoral College update, which was posted on May 11th, called Trump Weakens as Florida Moves Towards Clinton. One thing I pointed out is, like, if you look at this, though, you know, a lot of people are talking about how this is potentially a historic blowout by the Democrats. And maybe things are still moving. Maybe by the time we get to the election, they will be. But so far, where we actually are, if you look at what the current Trump versus Clinton polls show us, is that Clinton is doing worse than Romney did, but he's still doing better than McCain. You know, so this is a solid loss. He is still losing, but we're not like it's not like Mondale.
It's not a Mondale. Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. And I pointed out in my post as well, his worst case right now, if Clinton won all of the states she was ahead in, plus took all of the states where Trump is leading by less than 5% right now, that worst case is still kind of like Dole versus Clinton. It's kind of like Dole's loss. It's not even in Dukakis territory yet. So we're a long way from Mondale. Plenty of time for that to change. But the change could be a bounce back, too. I mean, it could get worse for Trump. But maybe, you know, he'll convince all the people that, you know, he wants to raise the minimum wage, and he wants to increase taxes on the rich, and he wants to get us out of wars.
Eliminate the deficit in 8 years,
not worry about it because it doesn't matter, whichever. And between all of these, you know, maybe he starts clawing his way back up. And, you know, at the same time, you know, as we've said in the primary battle, if any Democratic politician has the ability to fuck this up, it's Hillary Clinton.
Come on.
You know, people have pointed out, like, in favorability ratings, I think 538 put out an article a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was only a week ago, I don't know, looking at the net favorability ratings of presidential candidates going back to 1980. So all the Republicans, all the Democrats going back to 1980. Before this year, and I'm doing this off memory, so apologies, nobody had a worse approval rating than a negative 10. And this is net approval, so it's like the people who really like them minus the people who really hate them. So it ignores the people in the middle.
Right.
And so before this election cycle, nobody had been worse than a negative 10. Hillary is at negative 20. So she would be, if it wasn't for Trump, she would be the most disliked politician running for president since 1980. But
right. Except
Trump is at negative 40.
Oh. Exactly.
You know, so... Just for reference, the article I was talking about is entitled America's Distaste for Both Trump and Clinton is Record-Breaking by Harry Enten, which was published on May 5th. It has all kinds of details about both candidates' favorability ratings versus historical presidential candidates at this time in the cycle. Back to the show.
And watch my YouTube channel!
Yeah. Okay, one more thing, and then we're out of here because Alex just got back as well. The Republican Veep Stakes. Oh, don't fall. The Republican Veep Stakes. Most of the buzz in the last few days has been about.
Of what?
They said Palin.
Gingrich.
Oh, Newt.
Oh, I say no, yay. No, yay. No, yay.
Yes. So, I mean, look, he hasn't made a decision yet. Obviously, we're still a ways away from his announcement, probably. But the most recent buzz this week has been about Newt Gingrich as the front runner for Trump's VP.
What happened?
That would be quite a ticket.
Yes, it would be. I don't know what happened, Alex. Can you leave us be so we can finish? Don't unplug things back there. Unplug things back there. Stop.
Hey, stop unplugging.
Stop. You can seriously mess things up. All kinds of noise is happening now. Okay, hold on just a second.
Hold on. Snip, YouTube channel. My YouTube channel. Snip.
Okay, anyway, Newt Gingrich. He wants, remember he gives some great speeches about, or his people do, about how he's coming back into battle or whatever it is. He wants to make a moon base. Remember the moon base?
Oh, yes, I forgot about the moon base.
He really likes zoos.
But, hey, Hillary said she was going to declassify Area 51.
Oh, did she? I missed that.
Yes!
About the aliens?
Yes!
Oh, okay. Oh, goody.
So we'll get the moon base.
We'll get the moon base. We'll get the aliens. Well, I guess Gingrich and Hillary would have to work together for that.
Maybe.
I don't know. There's some other interesting candidates on, but I mean, I think Gingrich just sounds perfect. Gingrich sounds perfect. I think he should go with that. Trump Gingrich. There you go.
Two angry white guys.
Trump has said he wants an experienced politician. And most experienced politicians have told him to go fuck himself. But Newt Gingrich?
Oh, fuck yeah. He'd jump over this.
And of course, the other contender, Chris Christie.
Well, Chris Christie, of course, would do anything.
And then Trump can tell him to go get back on the plane and go home every day.
Yes, that's right. You're freaking, you know, so there for you. I would say that, you know, I mean, he's probably walking his dog right now as we speak. So,
yeah, Christie, walking, yes. Trump's dog.
Yes, I'm sure that he's doing that right now as we speak.
Anyway, the other possibility out there is that Trump pulls a Perot and basically picks somebody that nobody's ever heard of.
Is that, what's his name?
Admiral Stockdale.
Is he dead?
Yes, he's dead. Okay. I'm pretty sure. I should look that up, but I'm pretty sure.
I think he is dead. I think we had to look that up before. Yeah.
I'm typing in Admiral Stockdale, James Stockdale, died 2005.
It's been a while.
But anyway, yeah, like, and obviously, yeah, he was an admiral. Some people had heard of him, but he wasn't a major national politician that everybody heard of. For the most part, when Perot announced, "And I'm picking Admiral Stockdale," the response was, "Who?
Who?"
Yeah, and so Trump could go that route as well.
Yeah,
but
all right then. Okay.
Oh, Alex just threw a sandwich at me.
Well, that's good. Are we done?
I think we're done. I think we're done, because I have a sandwich now, and I should go eat my sandwich.
All right, then.
So, okay. As usual, everybody, thanks for joining us on Curmudgeon's Corner.
Curmudgeon's Corner!
That's right, Curmudgeon's Corner.
Goodbye! Ring, ring, ring. Wait, where's the bell? Where's the bell?
I think it's in the bedroom somewhere.
Let me go get it.
Anyway, I'll give the rest of my spiel while you go get the bell. Like us on Facebook. Comment. We love having the conversation with you. Like Yvonne said at the beginning of the show, we've had a few comments lately, and we haven't answered all of them on the show because a lot of them were just like, you know, things on the Facebook page, and we've sometimes answered on Facebook when they didn't seem like they were a full topic. We'd love to hear from you.
We need it louder. We need it.
Okay. Alex is here. That's not a bell.
Thank you for watching. Curmudgeon's Corner.
Listening, but it's close enough.
It's only sound. Listening.
Listening. Actually watching. Watching Curmudgeon's Corner. And our pod sup. Is that?
Podcast.
Positive, what we try to do in this podcast is do the normal thing and get people to watch my YouTube channel.
Yes. And what is your YouTube channel again? Do you know, you remember the address?
I don't remember the name, though.
I'll say it. It's A?
Wait, no.
Okay.
It's... Oh.
All right, guys.
One of the bad ones.
And he's...
Hello?
Yeah, he...
Oh, no.
Can you hear us, Yvonne?
Yeah, now I can.
By the way, everybody, he's been handing out business cards that he homemade. I'm actually getting some printed up, but he homemade a whole bunch of business cards that has a picture of him and his YouTube channel's address, and he's actually been going around the neighborhood handing them out to kids in the neighborhood. And through this effort, he went from 7 subscribers to his channel to 13 now.
Oh, 13? I never...
Yeah,
I got one more.
Yeah, you got one more today. It went from 12 to 13 earlier today.
Oh.
Yay! All right.
Okay, he's telling the address.
It's A-L-E-X-M-X-E-L-A .com. A period. And by Alex and Dad.
That's right. So check out his YouTube channel, watch his videos. It's mostly him playing games with me in the background and making comments occasionally.
And playing.
So that's our show. Thank you, everybody.
And some of it's even warning. So if you think it's good for kids, why don't? Just watch it to test if it's good for kids.
There you go.
And I'm okay. A kindergartner, and why do I know all this stuff?
Woohoo! Thanks, everybody, for listening to our show again. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Go to our podcast.
Yep. Goodbye.
Oh, wait. We should make...
Snip, snip. Ivana hung up on us then, so it cut off what Alex was going to say. Alex, what were you going to say? You were saying we should make
a podcast for my YouTube channel, and plus this podcast is all about my YouTube channel, and are we even putting it on the podcast?
There you go. Okay.
Or YouTube.
Snip, snip.
Wolf, goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Wolf, wait, YouTube.